Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Happy Waiver Wednesday to all of you who celebrate.
Should I be closing my tabs here of transactions on Yahoo?
You want to talk it through? Why you spent what you spent? Why you did what you did? Let's talk about what you got and what you didn't get. Talk about your free agent offers that hit and that didn't. If you spent too much money, we'll be here to talk you down.
Your league is living under a rock if he is still available.
It's worth a flyer. It's one of those, if anybody's going to make that mistake, it's going to be me.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the Home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey everybody, happy Wednesday. This is the Thanksgiving pregame show.
Yeah. Thanksgiving Eve, an underrated day of the year.
You know, one
very underrated
great tradition of today is that someone in sports media, very desperate to get interaction, is going to say something like, "Turkey's not good." Is that you? Do you do that? It's a tradition.
Let me just say this.
Here it is.
I probably have said it.
Turkey's not good. We shouldn't eat it on Thanksgiving.
I will say this, though. If you see my Thanksgiving plate on a year-to-year basis...
Your turkey per 60 is low?
Oh, it's pretty low. Like, I'm talking 4% of the plate.
Okay.
5% of the plate. Like, it is my plate... is side dishes loaded up, and then a little turkey. Almost under the pressure of, well, you gotta take the turkey. You don't take any turkey, and then suddenly you're the story of the table.
Right,
like,
true.
Attention. Joe didn't take any turkey. What's going on here? You gotta take some, and it's fine. I gotta load it up with gravy, though.
I have this problem where if someone tells me they don't like a food that I like, I just think that they haven't had a good version of it.
Uh-huh.
Like, you tell me you don't like stew.
Well...
And I'm like, you probably haven't had good stew.
That's how I feel when you say you don't like eggs.
But I've tried eggs.
Oh,
and you
okay.
can make the best eggs, and I cannot eat them.
I can guarantee you've had great eggs, though.
I don't know. Make some tomorrow.
Okay.
Or Friday.
Make
the best eggs on earth.
I don't think eggs travel well.
Yeah.
It might be tough to execute
and
that.
And don't eggs get better the more other things you put in them?
Isn't that... kind of the deal with turkey a little bit too? Not really. I guess it's more how you cook it.
Yes.
It's how you cook it. Well, you could stuff it, though, is what I'm saying.
Sure, but deep fried turkey, smoked turkey, regular, you know, roasted turkey.
Yeah, and I don't know that I've had deep fried or smoked turkey before. Maybe I've had... No, that's not true. I've had smoked turkey, and it was very good from what I had. But just the generic oven roasted turkey, it's fine. It's fine. I'm not going to tell you it's bad, but I'm not going to be loading up with a ton of turkey. If it's just, you know, oven roasted turkey, well cooked, good, put some gravy on it, that's fine. I'll take some. But I'm just not going nuts. I'm going nuts on the mashed potatoes and the anything that's got a brown sugar layer on top and an orange layer underneath.
You want a candied Thanksgiving?
Yes, I do. I want sugar.
candied yams.
Yeah.
Is anybody making
is it the same thing? Is it candied yams with the brown sugar, or is that also with the marshmallow topping?
Sure. Close.
Something's got marshmallow on top. I know that. At one of my family gatherings every year.
Sweet potatoes.
Yeah, that's probably just sweet potatoes. Right, okay, my yams... Wait, yams are sweet potatoes, though, aren't they?
They're not. They're not the same. No. They're different.
Right. Well, I want my yams with brown sugar on top, and I want my sweet potatoes with marshmallows on top.
Brown sugar... Right. Carrots. You guys ever had that? Like caramelized carrots?
That sounds delicious.
Super good.
Yep, I'm into that. Mashed potatoes. This is where I'm living. Stuffing, of course. Yeah.
This is also my yearly check-in to see like what is different between yams and sweet potatoes.
I thought they were the same thing.
They're not.
They're definitely not the same
thing. Yams are not as sweet as sweet potatoes.
Okay.
Starchier and drier. The texture and flavor, whatever. I think what they're similar in is they're two things that people load sugar into that are orange-ish.
Right. Yes.
Right?
Love
here, have these.
That's going to be 30% of my plate at least, for sure.
sugar stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Sugar stuff and then stuffing. Lots of stuffing.
Yeah. Good stuffing.
Listen, turkey is the king of the plate, but what is the Game of Thrones line? You think a crown gives you power? The stuffing's on the side here. That's where the power resides, is stuffing on that plate. So it might not be king, but it's number one. Definitely number one on that plate.
Good mashed potatoes, good stuffing, pies, of course. The show before us, they were talking about, you know, lasagna, brisket.
Lasagna?
Yeah, having unorthodox or whatever, just other non-traditional, which for you might be tradition, to have ham. I can't imagine eating ham.
No.
I've never seen a ham. Thanksgiving ham?
Yeah, no. That's never happened. That's never happened. You were talking yesterday about Thanksgiving horror stories. I did think of one, which was, there was one year when I was a kid. I don't even remember who or where this would have been, but there was a year where the turkey didn't seem to be turkey. It somehow seemed to be another meat of some sort. Maybe it was ham.
Oh, you just don't... You were too young to remember?
A little bit. But there was a brouhaha at a family gathering because
the people.
This somehow isn't turkey, or there was a question with the meat itself.
The person that prepared it did not know.
I guess. Yeah. Again, I'm fuzzy on the details.
You say that's kind of tough to do because.
But
you know, depending on what meat it was, determines what temperature you cooked.
It could have just been a bad turkey, maybe too.
Maybe. Yeah. Well. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, in advance. Sabres play tonight. We got a Bills day ahead of us. Sal's back. We'll talk to Sal coming up at 7. And, you know, Thanksgiving pregame show.
I love Thanksgiving Eve so much. Thanksgiving Eve is still, is it not still the best night to go out of the year?
You say that like I ever go out at night anymore.
Oh, right.
So
I'm talking to.
I don't know if it's the best night of the year.
Yeah.
It at one point used to be. Sure, for me. Or
yes.
I would say this. It used to be, or maybe still is, the difference is maybe going out in a city that you're from.
I think that's, I was just going to wonder if that's different.
Like, if I go out on Thanksgiving Eve, I'll still see a lot of people that I know.
Yeah.
But I'm not seeing a lot of people from high school.
That's the other thing, too, is like within the last couple of years, this has changed, maybe post-COVID, because when I would have been in college still, of course, and then even a few years after that, Thanksgiving Eve was, everybody's back in town. Right, everybody's back in town to see family, and what are they doing the night before? They're all going out to the same spots they would have been going out before, and that's a little different now. That would be a little different now.
Maybe there's also, you know, the Sabres game is a great spot for that. A Bills home game the weekend of Thanksgiving can be good for that too, because you'll see people that are coming back. And again, like, I've lived here long enough to know a lot of people from here and that live here, but there's not a reunion of sorts for my high school or anything like that because I grew up 2 hours away.
Yeah. And the Sabres playing tonight will be. I've already had a few people reach out, like, "Are you going to the game tonight? Are you going to the game tonight? Like, we're gonna be downtown after the game tonight." So I know that's a lot of people's plans.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to carry that gravy boat around, though.
That's true.
All night,
it's worth it.
Well, put it in your car. Put it in your car.
Who's gonna score me a gravy boat? How am I gonna swing that?
Go, look up tickets.
Yeah, I mean that's one option. It's going.
Go to the game. That's how you get it.
Maybe.
Are those one of those things where you might see them available at a certain department store like a couple of days later? Because I know that's happened with other giveaways in the past.
I don't know.
I don't know about the gravy boat, though.
I suppose that's possible.
Yeah.
803-0550 is our phone number. Sabres in Wild tonight. Are they still in the playoffs? They fall out because of the out-of-town scoreboard. They haven't played since Saturday.
You know, I said I was going to start scoreboard watching, and you just asked that question. I have no idea who played last night.
Here's how you know you're really in the playoff race. If you can get in a playoff spot on Saturday and still be in it on Wednesday, having played no games, you've made progress.
I'll
and I'm happy
this.
To report they are still in the spot.
And they've played fewer games than everybody.
Yes.
Gotta love that. Boston's played two more games, and they have the same amount of points.
Boston got shut out again.
Beautiful. Love that. Love seeing them finally maybe be bad. I had to put the maybe in there.
It's so funny. Like these tiny,
the goal differential stinks.
These tiny little, whatever, mile markers or milestones, they got in a playoff spot on a Saturday, and they didn't play, and they were still in it on Wednesday. You know, that's not unusual if you're a team that's in the playoffs.
But it wasn't like, we had this a couple weeks ago, didn't we? Where the Sabres played a game at like 1 o'clock, and it was, guys, if they win at 1 o'clock, at least for the next 4 hours,
that's right.
They're going to be in a spot. Don't worry about what happens at 7.
Not kidding. It's very possible the Sabres have been in a playoff spot more in the last 4 days than the last 10 years Thanksgiving plus.
Yeah.
It's very possible.
Like how long were they in a spot after the 10-game win streak?
Okay, into December, that's right.
But if you take other than that 1 year, I might agree with you.
Right. Yeah. I guess we shouldn't eliminate a season where they won 10 in a row, but that's not exactly a normal year. Then, of course, they finished, you know, last still.
They finished in the same spot that they were going to be anyway.
803-0550 on the Sabres, on the Bills, all that good stuff. I can't wait to talk to Sal today because I want to see if he might have a same guess. Again, it's a guess. I just think it's Milano Day. I think we're finding out Milano is back. Mm-hmm. Because when they activate his practice window, you get 3 weeks. There's a bye week built in. You don't have to rush. The fact that you did it when there's a bye week in there as well, to me, it just smells like Milano comes back this week. And that would be exciting. Either way, you know, we'll find out what he's doing at practice, how much more he's practicing versus unable to play. Whatever. It's a Milano update day, and I have high hopes that it's all the way to the moon, Joe. Like, always back. He's out of this jersey. Mm-hmm. He's into this. And here we go.
Should I definitely be excited to the point that he's going to be what? Like, what should our expectation realistically be about him when he gets back on the field? Like, am I just to expect, oh, he's right back to one of the best linebackers in football, guy that the last time he was healthy and they ran one of those, actually, even when he wasn't healthy, I think when he was coming off the injury, there would have been one of those executives polls in the NFL, who are the best linebackers in football, and Matt Milano was like third. Like one of the best five linebackers in the league, like no question about it. Is that what I'm to expect? That he's just going to come back off the field after not playing for more than a calendar year and just be one of the best five linebackers in football again?
Would you take eighth?
Sure.
Would you think that's possible?
I think I would take... Wouldn't you just take anything better than Dorian Williams? And that's not even to say Dorian Williams has been bad. It's just
right.
Milano, I think, would at the minimum be expected to be an upgrade over what they've had for this whole season so far.
Yeah, I mean, this is similar to the Niners getting Christian McCaffrey back for Jordan Mason. Like, Mason's not been bad, but that's our guy over there.
Right.
We're going to put McCaffrey back in, which, by the way, coming into this game this week, I'll get it for you later. There's some data in the numbers of the last game or two, however many McCaffrey's played, that he doesn't have it yet. You're not playing a 100% Christian McCaffrey. You see it in his speed.
Yeah.
And next-gen stats and all that tracking how well he's running. So we'll see how long that takes to kick up the full speed.
And keep in mind, Williams, I've got his PFF page open, so like take the grades for what they're worth, you know, with a grain of salt. He's one of their better run defenders. In fact, he might be their best run defending player in general. Him and Taylor Rapp. He, by their coverage grades, is the worst Bills starter on the season. He's their worst cover player that starts behind everybody. And they're doing those dime packages more and more often where he comes off the field totally and they leave Cam Lewis out there or put Cam Lewis out there. So there is definite room for improvement from Williams. And I think the biggest point of emphasis on that might be just his ability to cover. And that's Milano. That's like, think Milano, what's the last play you can think that Milano has made? Was it even the last game he played in full? Was that Raider game last year where he like mossed Josh Jacobs, like ripped the ball away from him, like in a little route down the field and then took it back? Like Milano in coverage is typically, I think, where you're expecting an elite player.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Who else are we waiting on? Spencer Brown,
Coleman and Kincaid.
Yeah, Coleman and Dalton Kincaid. Those three.
Yeah.
And Coleman, I feel like he'll be fine too, right? I mean, Coleman, at the last, when last we left him, he wasn't wearing anything. It was just the kind of thing where...
Right.
So, we'll see. I mean, when he wasn't wearing anything, you know, like a brace.
And Kincaid,
he was wearing clothes.
Kincaid, I'm just interested if there's going to be any uptick at all down the stretch when he comes back, because he hasn't cracked 35 yards in more than a month now, and he didn't play in one of those games. One of them was a bye week, so that's only three games worth. But I mean, that's the one guy on offense that I would say isn't quite meeting the high hopes of before the season. He's not been bad. It's just him and Allen have not been on the same page. I also now just don't know if they need him to take a giant step forward. Right? They have enough weapons, I think, where before the year it would have been, well, they better get a huge breakout season out of Dalton Kincaid. And right now, if you told me he's going to do what he's been doing all year the rest of the way, I'm not changing my opinion of the Bills' offense. If you told me, oh, he's going to average 30 yards a game. All right, fine. Well, whatever.
I mean, is Knox picking up any slack during that, or are you just not worried about the tight ends? Because I tend to just not worry about the tight ends.
What if I just told you in general, hey, the tight ends are going to combine for 50 yards a game?
Sure, fine.
Like, I don't even care where it comes from.
It's just probably
50
fine.
To 60 yards a game. That's what you're getting from tight ends.
It's not really a great return on investment, but it's fine.
Right. Right.
Kyle in Jacksonville going to lead us off this morning. Hey, Kyle, good morning.
Hey, guys, how we doing?
Good.
Hey,
morning.
Happy Thanksgiving. Hey, but I got a point, but before I do, just from a Thanksgiving perspective, appreciate you guys. For those of us who travel a ton and kind of thrive off morning routines, I know that you're not always at your best, but absolutely kind of rely on you guys every day, and I'm not being hyperbolic in it. Like, it's something that is really important to me, and so thank you guys for you know, showing up every day.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, so I've kind of been the guy calling about the unsexy take around depth this season, and also about McDermott, but it was 2 points. One, I can't stress enough how impressed I am with the roster building of this team. I was reading a story yesterday, and they were talking about players we may have to move on from next year. And one of those players, they were talking about potentially, you know, not extending Rasul Douglas or not renegotiating with Douglas. And I bristled at the thought. And then they were like, by the way, I'm Team Douglas. But they're like, hey, but behind them, they've been grooming Elam. They've got Ingram, who's been a really pleasant surprise. And I guess the point is, even in the Milano conversation you guys were just having, it's different with linebackers. I think they either got to go or not go. I'm very curious to see what we do. Do we bring him back full go? Does he rotate in on does he rotate in on certain plays just to start to get this feel back? It's just a luxury, you know, all of the things that we'll find out, right? But it's a luxury that we've grown accustomed to under this McDermott Bean regime that in the drought years we just didn't have. I mean, we got super high on the idea of one stud player coming in and hopefully saving that unit, right? You think like a Mario Williams or something like that. And so it's a little bit of just giving our flowers to Bean and McDermott. Sure, Bean's missed, but I think we're rewriting his narrative too, because it, you know, if you listen to, like I do, like I mentioned to start, every day, there was a time when people were saying, hey, actually Bean's just getting a lot of credit for Josh Allen. Well, actually he's not. Like, there's a ton of players that we're finding. We've had a couple people who have taken a little bit longer to develop in the early rounds, but he's getting late round gems. And so it's just, as a 38-year-old Bills fan who has lived through a ton of mediocrity, like everyone who listens to the station, it is so refreshing to be on a team that, you know, if we even start talking about next year, guys, which I don't want to do, but of course then I go do it. Like, I love the fact that, yeah, we're all team wide receiver trained, but I think we're also going to start to reevaluate that a little bit too. I'm not saying, guys, don't lose your mind. I mean, I'm not saying don't go for a wide receiver, but I am saying we're in a position where we've proven that we can build talent. And so you can add really good depth pieces. And that's just, it's just an awesome place to live. So maybe I'm feeling a little bit grateful here on a pre-Thanksgiving, but it's a really cool spot for us as a fan base to sit there and watch professionals run an organization. And there is no doubt that this is one of the best run organizations in the National Football League year in, year out. And so for kind of everyone who clamors for constant change and perfection, I get it, but just look at, you know, the Dable lovers, right? And love Dable. And I'm not saying, obviously, Dable did great for Josh, but, you know, Shane and Dable are having a real tough go right now. And so everyone who's saying we took the wrong coach and blah, blah, yeah. So anyways.
Thanks, Kyle. Thanks. I mean, Dable, they've developed a couple of really nice players there. Their quarterback is a disaster. But without, you know, turning it to that, the one thing I'll say about, you know, as you mentioned, like they're developing Elam, I think they consistently get really good play from defensive backs in Sean McDermott's system. And this is where I would go to with the point. Like you said a lot there, Kyle. Is there a spot where they feel like we can weaponize that? Hmm. Where, you know what? We don't ever need to spend a top first, second round pick on a corner. Because
I think corner might be the spot.
That might be the spot.
Yeah.
Then I don't necessarily want to fall into a trap with that. Because Tre'Davious White was a first round pick and he was awesome.
Right.
And I don't want to necessarily get tied up in that, well, Elam wasn't good and Benford was. But that would be the question I ask about it. You know, not necessarily that there's a concrete answer, but is there a spot where you'd say, well, we're good enough getting these type of players so we can get them at bargain basement prices? Like, there's one spot the Bills have, I think, consistently underfunded, and that is receiver. And where are most of their good players at receiver? Shakir's a nice fifth-round find, but they traded a first for Diggs. And they traded a third for Cooper, who's an established guy.
And they spent a second on Coleman.
Coleman's the highest
first pick of the second round.
Coleman's the highest receiver they drafted.
Right.
Outside of, no, Zay Jones is a second round pick.
Yeah, like, so, and that looks good right now.
Coleman is the highest asset they've spent on a receiver. So, like, it doesn't have to be only about receivers. When this season ends and they decide, you know, you mentioned Douglas. Are they going to want a corner with a first round pick? Are they going to want a defensive end? Because at defensive end, where are you after Vaughn leaves? You have Rousseau, who's good. You're going to want somebody else. So, yeah, I think they're pretty good at developing talent, pretty good at all the depth stuff that you laid out. I always want to, as a former Patriot hater and cynic, point out that a lot of things do look rosy when your quarterback fixes all your mistakes. That's all. Doesn't mean you haven't made other good moves. Just, man, when the quarterback wins you so many games, everybody looks good.
Yep.
And I think he still does a lot of that. So, but in general, the point, you know, their player development, their ability to lose a guy and somebody else goes in. I think from a defensive standpoint, that speaks to the McDermott system is pretty well built and pretty sound.
I think I could buy two things. One, their quarterback makes up for a lot of deficiencies on offense, especially, and hides any mistakes that would happen there. Defensively, I think it's kind of hard to argue they do not know what they're doing. I mean, Aaron Schatz, for years on this station, and others, not just him, but I feel like I always remember him making this point the most, is that it's harder to sustain defense year to year to year. That, like, the Seahawks in the Legion of Boom era were, like, the only team that ever sustained top five, top ten defense every single year. And I feel like the Bills have done that for, like, 7 years
now. Pretty close, yeah.
Like, they don't really... We have a bet about this, just in about longevity and, like, will they ever have, like, a bottom 10 defense. It has not happened yet. And it's been 7 years. And they've never really had a bad defense. They had a bad defense for, like, a month last season when they had seven injuries. And then they kind of bounced back at the end, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it hasn't happened. And I think that is a credit to them. And there's no doubt, I think, that they will get the most out of a defensive back, right?
Yep.
They're going to get the most out of a corner. Even Elam, he mentioned, Elam might be developed right now. He might have, he had a great training camp, didn't he? And we just have no idea because he can't get on the field because they have two amazing corners in front of him.
Especially Benford. And of course, Taron Johnson, another incredible corner in front of him. Thanks, Kyle, for the phone call. 803-0550. Big, meaty, Thanksgiving-sized conversation about the Bills and depth to open us up. Not bad at all. Sal coming up at 7. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, 7:30. We're going to check in also with Pat Hammer on the latest on the winter storm watch and how it might affect the game, the region, who's going to get snow, what the scenarios are as we get closer and closer to game day. We'll keep you informed. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on WGR.